Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome again to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM. With me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we've a mixture of words and music, and I thought tonight we could think about the call of God. And I want to talk to you about my sense of a call of God throughout my life. Because I honestly believe the call of God isn't just once in your lifetime. God calls, and he calls you to successive little moments that are big moments in your life. And then I'd like to back what I'm saying with pieces of music about Bible stories of calls of God. So let's begin way back in my life. I was born to two newly Christian parents. They were very enthusiastic because they were new converts. So they would take me to Sunday school, and there I found that they were Sunday school teachers. They would have family worship in the house. We went to church every week. There was great passion and enthusiasm about the Christian faith. At bedtime, Bible stories were read rather than fairy stories. So one night, when I was 7, my dad finished reading this Bible story, and he said to me and to my sister, lying in our beds, "You know this Jesus that you've been hearing about all your life now for 7 years? Do you not think it's time that you should commit your life to him?" And I remember thinking that, "Oh, is that what you do next? Well, that makes sense. Yes, okay then." So I committed my life to Jesus at that point. That was, in some people's jargon, my conversion. But I think your conversion isn't once in your life. There are many stages, and I think that was the first big stage. Let me explain more later. But let's go back to a Bible story about a little baby who was nurtured in the faith, if you like. This is Moses, the baby in the bulrushes. So it's Little Hebrew Babies, sung by Ian White.
Little Hebrew babies, now old Joseph's gone. Born among Egyptians, but why are they so strong? Why are they so strong? Little Hebrew babies, they grow and grow and grow. Soon the king of Egypt says, "Now the boys must go. Now these boys must go." One little Hebrew baby, his mother is so brave, she hides him by the river in a basket warm and safe. In a basket warm and safe. Oh, see the little Hebrew baby. The princess cries with joy. I'll take him to the palace. He'll be my little boy. He'll be my little boy. Moses is his name. Grows up in the palace and learns a leader's ways. and to lead her as ways.
So as a little Christian boy of 7, I reached the age then of 8, and I had a very special moment in my bedroom. I was reading the Reader's Digest Atlas of the World. Well, not so much reading it as looking through the pages and looking at the coloured maps. And in one of the pages, all the countries were coloured relative to what faiths they had. So I remember seeing that Japan was coloured yellow with little red things, meaning that it had a religion of Shinto and Buddhism. Europe, for example, was light blue with dark blue crosses, meaning it was Christian. And I had the thought that I'd heard of David Livingstone going to Africa and things like that. So maybe when I grow up, I could be a missionary to Japan and I could change the map from being yellow with red bits into sky blue with dark blue crosses, you see. So I came down the stair and I said to my mum, who was washing the dishes at the time, you notice how I remember it in detail, even at this age. I said, Mum, I'm going to be a missionary in Japan. And she was decidedly underwhelmed. She carried on washing the dishes and she said, oh, that's nice, son. Because the previous week I was going to be a bus driver and the week before I was going to be a football player. Gradually my family began to notice that this was a very strong determination and nothing would seem to change it. And for years I was going to be a missionary in Japan. So here's a song about Joseph. It's God Has a Plan for You. And I felt at that time God's plan was that I'd be a missionary in Japan. That was later to be revised. So here's Joseph, sung by Ian White.
He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you.
God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Just like Brother Joseph.
He has a plan for you.
God had a plan for Joseph. Although his brothers left him, taken down to Egypt, looking for the captain, locked up in a prison. Although he was a good man, cause the captain's lady told such lies about him. It was 2 years later, the Pharaoh had a strange dream. Someone sent for Joseph, for he can't tell the meaning. So Joseph met the Pharaoh, gave him a top position, ruling over Egypt in the time of famine. Then Joseph met his brothers when they came down to Egypt. What they did in envy, the Lord had made a blessing. Oh, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Just like Brother Joseph. He has a plan. He has a plan for you. No matter what your name is, he has a plan. Yes, God has a plan.
So when I was just 9, my dad called a family conference, and my mum, my dad, my sister and I were sitting there, and he said, how would you feel if I became a minister? It would mean we'd have to move house, you know, and have a new lifestyle altogether, because up to that point he'd been a fish salesman in Fraserburgh. So I looked at my sister, and on behalf of her I sort of said, are you asking us anything, or are you telling us? And he hesitated, then he said, well, I feel God's telling us that we should go into the ministry. And if God says to jump, we kind of have to jump. So we said, okay then, we'll go with it. So from living in a little village in the northeast, we were committed to my dad becoming a student and then changing his whole career, being a minister, making us into public figures. We'd have to move to another area and our whole lives would be changed. But we did that as a family because we felt it was God's call to us. Here's a song about Gideon. Gideon was called by God and he was the sort of person, he always wanted a sign. So he put out a fleece on the grass and he asked God, if you really want me to do this, let there be dew on all the grass, but not on the fleece. And he got his wish. Next day, not content with that, he says, could we just do that again and reverse it? So the dew is on the fleece, but not on the grass. And it happened again. Then he was persuaded. Some folk take longer than others to accept God's will, but many folk will say that they live according to a strong sense of God's will. Here's Gideon.
Calling you, oh, I'm calling.
The call of God is not only to individuals, but it's also to whole families. So my dad went off to study, and that was when I was 9. He went off to evening classes first, and then he would work all day in the fish market from about 7 in the morning till 5 at night, and then he would go through to Aberdeen, 40 miles away, for his evening classes. And when he qualified, he went off to university. So when I was a young teenager, the man of the house, my dad was away in Glasgow studying. So by the time I'm 16, Dad gets a job in a place called Newart Hill in Lanarkshire, near Motherwell. So we had even to get the cat at the call of God. He had to be put in his crate and taken down to this new house. And we arrived in Newart Hill in the rain, wondering now what would life hold in store for us. We've come from a little village, now we're going to a large town. We'd come from a village that had a temperance protest march on Christmas Day. There's no alcohol premises in the village, and our new manse was next to a pub. In fact, there were 3 pubs within sight. We came from the northeast fishing background to an industrial, just in the shadow of Ravenscraig sort of environment. There were no Roman Catholic Protestant divide issues in our village area, and we came down to this town, Newart Hill, just on the edge of Carfin, which is a very prominent place for Roman Catholics. So it was a complete culture shock for the whole family, including the cat. The cat had been used to free fish at the fish market, you see, and had to now buy those fish. But the whole family felt the sense of the call of God. So Dad changes career. Mum becomes a minister's wife for the first time. We were minister's kids for the first time. We became public figures. All kinds of issues. But we embraced it happily in God's service. Sometimes God asks people some strange things, you know. Take the story of Noah. Go and make a boat. I know there's no signs of water for miles around and it's not even spitting with rain, but you make a boat and I'll take it from there. Here's Ian White again.
Once upon a time there was a man called Noah, and Noah was a man God loved. And one fine day God said to this man Noah, I am going to send a flood. The waters will come down and everything will drown, but you are going to build a boat. So Noah built the ark just like God told him, very long, and into it went to our very creature. And when the flood came, they stayed dry. Now Noah did exactly what God told him, just like you and I should do. For when we do exactly what God tells us, he will bring the best to you. Once upon a time there was a man called Noah, and Noah was a man God loved. And one fine day God said to this man Noah, I am going to send a flood. The waters will come down and everything will drown, but you are going to build a boat. So Noah built the ark just like God told him, very long and wide and high. And into it went to our very creature, and when the flood came they stayed dry. Now Noah did exactly what God told him, just like you and I should do. For when we do exactly what God tells us, he will bring the best to you.
When I was 18, I left school from Motherwell and I went to university in Glasgow. And I went to live in halls of residence. My dad told me years later that it was a very poignant moment for him. He was carrying my suitcases and I was carrying some luggage up ahead of him. and I was just racing to get into this hall of residence. He was dragging his feet behind, thinking, this is cheerio to his son, he'll never be the same again. That's him leaving the nest. I didn't notice because I was so busy looking forward. So I got into McBrain Hall in Glasgow, and I found it one of the most spiritual experiences of my life. This wasn't a church context, just a normal hall of residence for students at Glasgow University. There are about 73 men. When I first arrived, there was about four people who were Christians, and we met together and we had a wee prayer group in one of our rooms. Within 14 weeks, there were 14 people at that prayer group. At one time, a number of lads in the hall came up to us and said, we'd really like to come to your wee Bible discussions, but we daren't come for what our pals will say. And we felt like taking them and shaking them and saying, do you know that of the eight of you, all eight of you have come up confidentially and said you'd like to come, but you can't come because of the other seven. But we didn't expose their confidentiality. But in many ways, the Christians were the core of that establishment. We were the ones that shifted tables at mealtimes and mixed with everybody. We became the heart and soul of that community. At one time, a Chinese student, whose dad was a high communist official in China, he became a Christian, so he wanted to be baptized. His parents made him fly back to China and give him a dressing down, but he insisted that he was going to become a Christian. The Chinese family said, it's only because we're Chinese and family is so important that we don't cut you off, but it's the worst thing you could possibly do. So on the night he was to be baptized, half the students in that hall went to see it, including a Muslim sub-warden. It was a fantastic spiritual experience in a normal secular environment. As a minister, I'm sort of always in churchy things, but I really enjoyed not being in a churchy world, and yet so much spirituality amongst the people. Anyway, here's a story about Daniel in the Old Testament, who's far away from his holy land, and in the far country, he has his hassles, but as the song says, he's God's friend, and God was his friend. There's more to life than just a conversion in the Christian sense as well. I would say I've had an educational conversion. By that I mean, at one point I was a student just studying my courses, doing what it took to pass my exams. But there came a point when, almost like a switch being flicked, I had a whole different outlook. I didn't just go through the motions of learning and studying to pass exams. I had this educational conversion moment where I really wanted to learn, and I wanted to learn more and more, and I wanted to learn nothing to do with passing exams, just for its own sake. So I went to study in Glasgow, then I went and studied in Aberdeen, and then I got a year in America. And especially in that American year, I would sign up for courses that I wasn't supposed to be on. I went to twice as many classes as I was due to go to, because I was interested in everything. Somebody once said that to me in my first church, "You're interested in everything," as if it was a criticism. Isn't it wonderful to be educated? You break through to the point where you really are interested in about everything. It is a wonderful world. Well, here's a song about David and Goliath, and it has the line, "The fire of the Lord inside." That's what David had. And the fire of the Lord inside overcomes all difficulties.
Well, I'm just a shepherd, David is my name. I live in a village called Bethlehem. My brothers are soldiers and they're fighting in the war. But I don't understand what the fighting is for. I don't understand what the fighting is for. I go to see my brothers and I bring them cheese and bread. I see Goliath and I hear the things he said. He's big and mean and ugly, he's a very wicked man. But I'm gonna get him if I can. I'm gonna get him if I can. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, I don't need spears, I don't need armor plate. If the Lord will deliver me, he'll do it anyway. I'd rather use something that I know. I tickle in a stone and here I go. I tickle in a stone and here I go. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Oh, Goliath, you can fight me with your spear and with your sword, and I come against you in the name of the Lord. And everyone who gathers, he will understand. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, Goliath, you can fight me with your spear and with your sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And everyone who gathers, he will understand. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside.
When it comes to big dramatic moments and changes in my life, there's the educational conversion, there's spiritual conversion, there's all kinds of big moments. But nothing's bigger for me than the moment of getting married. It's hard to explain just how much a bachelor I was. Even my granny had given up on matchmaking. I was 9 years a bachelor minister. The congregation had given up on matchmaking. And when I was 36, I got married to Patricia from Fraserburgh. That was a long shot, you realise. I was living at that time in Stirling, and I went back to my home area because my cousin was getting married, and I was to be his best man. And this was, you guessed it, the bridesmaid. So they were joking that this bachelor best man and this bridesmaid might get together, you know. And it surprised everybody when they did. And I'm very happily married now to Patricia. But it was a big change in me. Time's kind of running out for us, and there are lots of other big changes it's hard to explain, like the time we got a dash hound, or becoming a disc jockey on radio. But isn't it wonderful that you never do quite know how life's going to turn out, and if you go with the flow, you can end up in tremendous exciting experiences. So here's the story of Andrew and Peter, who were minding their own business, mending their own nets, when along came Jesus and said, Come and Follow. This is Don Francisco singing this time.
Me and Andrew, we'd been fishing the best part last night. We'd caught nothing for all our trying. Come the morning and the light, then I saw him and he asked me to take him out a little ways from the land. He was teaching all the people, and they listened there in silence on the sand. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. And when he'd ended all his teaching, he turned around and spoke again to me. He said, Simon, row out farther, drop your nets once again into the sea. And I said, Master, we've been working since the sundown yesterday. But one more time, I'll throw them over, just because it's you who says, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Follow me, follow me. James and John, they're both my witnesses to the truth in what I've told, and how our nets were filled to bursting more than both our boats could ever hold. And I fell down there before him, crying, leave me, Lord, I'm full of sin. Said, Simon, don't be frightened, follow me, you will learn to fish for men. Just come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow. Come and follow me. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow me. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow me. Follow me.